That's music.
Oh, this what we doing here?
Another one.
I might have to put on my jewelry for this one.
Rave talk. Oh, we're talking that rave talk. Safe talk. Here we go. Talking that safe talk.
Hey. Listen, you know what? I'm the Major Key. That's how I'm feeling right now. Major Key alert. JP's in the building.
Hey.
I got the keys. I got the keys. Life caddy keys, yeah. 9 iron putters, yeah. I didn't have it. I lost all the swag. When I threw that 9 iron in there, it just threw everything off.
I mean, it's better than half the stuff that's coming out.
That's true. That was my attempt at mumble rapping. I don't even know. Welcome to Don't Do That, Bro. I'm John Parker, better known as C. John Roar. This is another edition of that great. I couldn't come up with any other things either. I'm struggling tonight. You know, like the myth, the man, the legend. I was like the great podcast, bro. That's all I had.
That's all we got.
I didn't have nothing else, man.
Sorry. We're great. Welcome to greatness.
You're welcome.
We are here. We missed a week.
You gonna say who you are? I don't know, sorry. How this happens, man.
I'm Dan Duncan. Your caddy with all of the balls.
All the balls. An extra pair. Keeps them clean.
Yeah. Try to. And yeah, man. We here. We missed a week.
We did. We missed a week.
You were traveling. I was traveling.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's what happens in real life.
That's what happens to real people. We just miss stuff. I think you might have had a little more fun than me, though. So, I don't really know.
I was in Germany
mm-hmm.
on work. So, I was on someone else's dime. That was nice.
I like when people be like, yeah, man, I was just at work in Germany getting free stuff, getting paid for.
I'm not mad about it.
Yeah.
I can't feel bad about that.
Yeah. Well, must be nice. That's all I have
it
to say.
It was nice.
I was trying to have some disdain in my voice, but that's all I got, man.
Bro, don't hate.
You know, you're not supposed to hate. You're supposed to congratulate.
They don't want you to win. But we do, because that's what this podcast is about. Welcome to Don't Do That, Bro.
Welcome to Don't Do That, Bro. It's a podcast that's about helping dudes win, whether you're in Germany or America or on a toilet or standing still at the bus stop. We're here to give you things to please your ears. Words, voices.
Tickle your fancies.
Whispers. Yeah, man. These golden tones that you hear are here for a reason, and that's to make men great again.
We're going to try.
Yeah. We ready?
Let's dive in, man.
Okay, man. Because I said that as like a segue, and then I was like, yo, did that work?
It worked.
Okay. But you had to affirm me.
Sorry.
All right. You should have just jumped in, man.
This is your show. I just sit here and say stupid shit.
But I mean, I lobbed it to you, bro. I hit you with that Durant to Westbrook in the
what they hate each other now.
You know what? We're going to have a small interruption. We're about to make men great again, but I realize we haven't had this conversation. This grown man NBA situation, this Thunder Warriors, Westbrook Durant, Westbrook
Curry,
Westbrook the world, like, yo, man, hug it out or fight, kiss or fight, make love or fight, like do whatever you guys are going to do, but get this stuff over with because it's a little ridiculous and it's annoying as grown men that you use the media to bicker back and forth with each other instead of just handle it.
You just wish that there was like a rumor or a story to come out like, look, they settled it. They settled it in the hallway with no cameras. They just went to blows.
Hey, man, I think everybody would lose. If it's Curry and Westbrook, he's losing that. If it's
Curry's losing?
Yeah, if Durant goes heads up with what he's crazy, bro. Like, I don't think that he will stop fighting until someone's dead. You know what I'm saying?
He's like the curb. I'm gonna curb you.
Right, pretty much, bro. Like I saw an episode of man, it's a cop show that used to come on FX, Shield. You remember? Did you ever watch that? All right. So these police officers took these gang members, put them in a shipping container, and was like, they were rival gang members, and was like, yeah, see y'all in the morning.
Like see you in the morning, like. But really, we're never coming back?
No, we're coming back. But only one of y'all's coming out of this container.
Oh, like the cops put all of these...
It was two guys, two gang leaders, put them in a container and let them fight to the death. And when they came back in the morning, one guy stumbled out.
Jeez, bro.
that's their real life right there, bro. And I feel like that's not fake. I feel like that has happened before for somebody.
It's like, we'll let y'all solve this.
Yeah, we're done with this. You got it.
It's efficient.
It is efficient. It is a way to handle business. All I'm saying, if Westbrook is in that tunnel, those guys aren't coming out ahead of the game.
If you're listening to this, tell us what you think. who's winning? Westbrook? Because the interesting thing is, like, I think just Durant, out of sheer size, like, has the ability to, like, not necessarily beat Westbrook.
Yeah.
But it's really just not a fair fight.
Just keep your arm. Well, if he has a good jab, because he had a reach on him. You know what I'm saying? But I feel like Westbrook could hit him with that. Mike Tyson.
I think the Curry is, like, I think Curry is a little bit like Karate Kid in the sense that you don't expect him to win the fight. But he might pull some, like, crazy, like, Eye of the Dragon, Eye of the Tiger.
I was going to let you slide.
Thanks. Yeah. And win.
Wax on, wax off, Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah, like, he has a Mr. Miyagi.
He might, but I feel like that's like wife fight. Like, somebody says something to his wife. I feel like in the tunnel, you know what I'm saying? If it's not, like, in the heat of the moment, I don't feel like he can conjure that up. Like, he's not, there's no, like, Hulk smash in him. But I could be wrong, but I just feel like he's, like, the type of, he's like the dad that you piss off, like, at the store when some guy whistles at his wife, like, hey, honey, I see you hot pants. And then he just, like, what the, and then he just goes Scion and just goes in.
He needs to get over that because his wife is very attractive.
Yeah, I'm not saying he would do that. I'm just saying he seems like the dad angry. Like, not the I'll fight you in the game angry. Although he did run up on somebody yesterday. No, it was Westbrook. Or it wasn't Westbrook. It was whoever it was.
Whoever it was.
No, yeah. I was just saying that my thing is just my thoughts are when dudes are just this long and dragging something out, just get it over with. Like, right. Either totally you kiss agree. Or fight, man. Like, that's just the way this works, man. You know what I'm saying?
I totally agree.
Yeah, and make up or not, but just get this part of the emotion out the way.
It's petty.
It is petty, man. It's baby stuff, man.
Yeah, you just gotta, like, dudes need to handle their business general, as a rule of thumb.
Yep.
Like, it drives me nuts when, like, dudes, like, have beef.
Yeah.
But then that person will show up, and it's like they act like they're their best friend.
Right.
Man, get that crap out of here.
I don't have time. Let's just handle this. You know what I'm saying? Let's just make it work.
Like, that's a little
yep.
move.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's it. So that was a segue into the segue of Making Men Great Again. And I just wanted to air that out, man. We were talking about Germany. Dan got some free gifts while he was out there. Stuff that I have to pay for in America. And then I just remembered, I don't know why that just came to my mind, but I just, dudes beefing, get it over with.
You know, I totally agree.
Especially when it's public like that, you weenies. So, spring is upon us.
It is.
We were actually going to record this the first day of spring, because we wanted you guys to be ahead of the game before spring started, or actually the day it started. But life happened. And so we're here. We have some Making Men Great Again clothing, wardrobe.
Some fashion faux pas.
Faux pas. Yep.
Like that alliteration right there?
That was a fashion faux pas. I like that. I was thinking more like nip slips. So that's kind of where my mind was. But I guess dudes don't really have that issue. So,
I mean, some dudes do have that issue. And it's a sad day.
Oh, I don't want to be a part of that. All right. So what I'm thinking is, like, hey, guys, I know you need help in a lot of different areas, and fashion is one of them.
Nate Owens.
Hey, maybe a case in point. You know what I'm saying? He let me in the house the other day, so I want to be nice to him because it was cold. So I just want to continue to have that access. So I'm saying, if you're that guy out there and you're a little sloppy, or you're doing things that you shouldn't be doing anymore, or if it's time up for the fashion fad that you want to keep going, we're here to stop all that.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I'm going to kick it off. It's time for the man bun to go, man. It's time for the man bun to go. I personally don't have one. I guess I could grow one if I pressed my hair permed my hair at some point in time when it got long enough. But I still see a few guys lingering and hanging on to these man buns, and I'm really trying to figure out why. You have to help me with that. It's out of my culture's hands.
You want me to really answer this question?
Yeah. Why is that happening?
Because they got the punani, and they were like, "Oh, this works."
This guy. See, man, they got by me, bro.
Some girl, he was out drinking with his friends. Yep, he grew his hair out because he's lazy.
Yep.
And some girl came up and complimented on it. And that night worked out well for him. He's like, I'm going to keep this thing.
This bun is working.
This ninja bun that, like, Last Samurai, Tom Cruise. Yeah, I'm going to channel all of this.
Yeah. Camel into, hump head.
Yeah.
Camel hump head. She grabbed that thing and he was like, yes. All these months that I've been growing this bump.
And he made it through the awkward stage. He doesn't want to go back to an awkward stage.
Yeah,
man.
That makes sense. All right, so I'm going to steal one, and I'm going to go number two. Hey, it's time for these long beards to go, too. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just, it's over, bro. It's summertime's on its way. These long, like, Philly dude Muslim stuff, bro. Like, I just, it's done, I think. You know what I'm saying? I could be wrong. Maybe it's my jealousy speaking, but I feel like it's the opposite way. I seen a guy with a man bun and the long bushy beard. I'm just like,
it's like the super hipster.
Yeah, man.
He's got super hipster powers.
That's it. Man, bro, that's double hipster powers, bro. Man bun and the big beard.
Yeah, super hipster powers. Again, that's not gonna, I hear what you're saying, mm-hmm. because, yeah, Summer, I used to have a big long beard. Mm-hmm. And when I shaved it off, I was like, I'm never going back to that. Yeah. Like, I didn't realize how miserable I was the entire time. But you get, like, so in my field of work, mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many more, like, I never got questioned walking into a creative meeting uh-huh. when I had my big long beard. Like, people mm-hmm. just literally like, oh, you are creative.
You look like
it's like a
creative.
Magical power. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. glasses plus the long beard and somewhat trendy hipster clothes. They're like, oh. Tattoo on your arm,
there
like
you go.
You fit the mold. Everything you yep. say is apparently relevant to what we are trying to do here.
Give us more.
I was able to charge a lot for it. You know what? I may grow my beard back out.
I was just thinking that, bro. If it worked out for you like that, I mean.
But I hear you.
Yeah,
I hear you. Yeah. It's not going away.
Yeah,
dang, too many man. Guys are winning with that.
I just don't. I don't. Anyway, all right. Go ahead, man. Where you at?
No, you gotta give me three.
You wanted them all up front?
Oh, you want me to give you two?
Well, that was one. That was actually supposed to be one, but I kind of put in the man bun and the beard.
Oh, so that we're only one down.
Yeah, we're still one down.
All right, cool. All right. So my first thing headed into spring, mm-hmm. and I'm speaking to my people, mm-hmm. Meaning if you're white.
Yeah.
The frat star PFG mm-hmm. shorty shorts, mm-hmm. like your wife wears longer shorts than you
yep.
wear.
Yep.
Chubby. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of this brand called Chubbies?
It sounds, first of all, we already know what your kind means by chubbies. So all I can feel is there's a chubby hanging out the bottom of chubbies. Cause it's so short.
And this is essentially my problem with it. It's like dudes, when it like hits 80 degrees, apparently they have like, they feel like there's a green light to like, like just letting it all hang. And I'm like, man, look, I'm not asking us to go back to 1995 right. and shorts that are like, you know, the like JNCO, yeah. like, they're basically right. short pants that,
Kulaks.
That just are like 2 inches too long or too short.
Yeah.
But you know, there's just a comfortable coverage
yeah.
that should happen.
Yes.
And I feel like there's just under the guise of fishing gear, yeah. guys decide that like they can wear short shorts. I'm like, no,
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 no.
Like, and why are, and every one of them is like 210 pounds, like, like with a beer, with a beer, like belly and like, it's like, no one loves you enough to say like, don't wear those shorts.
Yeah.
Just don't.
I mean, maybe because of the belly, they can't see what's happening. So they don't know the length that's actually happening because
I guess a real potential.
I mean, when you added the extra layer of the belly, you know what I'm saying? It's like pregnant women that haven't seen their feet in 6 months. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, I guess something's down there. I just don't know what's happening. I can't see it.
Yeah, no, the frat star, man. Like, don't come, like they should hibernate for the spring and summer.
Night night. Come back later.
That would make men great again.
That would make men great again. Well, since you're talking about the shorts, for you, this may be a little more universal. Apparently, the short shorts, hoop shorts, are coming back too. So, old boy from Michigan and there's a couple other
like the
players.
The short basketball shorts.
Yeah. Like I think he's from Cali and he plays for Michigan, but he had on the, you know what I'm saying, like the coochie cutter Magic Johnson era Showtime shorts. But I don't think he wore the biker shorts underneath. I think that's where he's missing the point. Like if you, you know,
like all those guys had compression shorts
right,
underneath.
Right.
Those.
Right. And they knew they for a reason, you know what I'm saying? You can't, I mean, it's like the 12 inch rule for women's skirts. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, hey man, you need to have at least 6 to 8 inches longer than your inches when you have on shorts. That's what I need to see.
That's an amazing rule
yeah.
of thumb.
Yeah.
Measure to the bottom.
That's it, man.
Dudes.
Yep.
And then go 6 inches lower.
6 inches lower, man. Minimum.
Just in case.
Just in case.
You're a grower, not a shower.
That's it, man. That's it, bro. And this is I'm talking full on like long. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking like, oh, you know what I'm saying? I'm ready long. You know what I mean? I don't want it to be like wake up in the morning, cold, shower. You know, I'm short. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? Like, that doesn't count, bro.
Yeah, don't measure at the climax of your day.
Right. No. Not going to happen. Don't do like,
side note. I just love when like, I wake up and, like, so I'm on this, like, diet right now.
Oh, I didn't know where that was going. All right, go ahead.
And, like, talk about like measuring at the right time. Like you get up and get on the scale, like, oh, I'm doing good today. And then you have like one meal and you're like, oh, that's where I'm really at.
Yep.
I digress.
That's it, man. Hey, take your shoes off when you get measured for your height, man. So yeah, so that's where we're at, right? So stretch those out. So I piggybacked on yours. So that doesn't count for me. For my number two, I'm going to go with jorts, bro. Like, I feel like this is something that's said often. Jean shorts.
Is that real?
Show Baraka was wearing jean shorts last summer, bro.
Bro, we need to help that man.
Bro, and I feel like it was like the cut off pants kind.
The frayed.
I think so, bro.
Okay, so if you're listening to this, guys, we need your help. We need you to tweet at Show Baraka because we are heading into springs. You know, he's like kind of like marginally more famous than he was last spring.
Yeah. That's pretty good. Spring up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he took a step forward in his career.
Yeah.
So there's a good chance that his wardrobe has changed slightly.
Mm-hmm. But just in case,
we need you to tweet at Amisho Baraka.
Yep.
Don't bring out the jorts.
Don't bring out the jorts.
You don't need to explain where you heard
it
from.
Please don't. Just let him have it.
Just give him the tweet.
Yep.
And you know what? You can hashtag it. Don't do that, bro.
You can. You can. Yes. I like that.
But help the man out. I totally agree.
You didn't see him last year, bro. It was just like, all right, man. Do you, man. I guess, man. It's all good, bro.
No, yeah. Go to Florida if you want to wear jean shorts.
Yo, the worst is when, you know, not that I'd be looking, but I'd be looking when dudes had them thick old thighs and they'd be having them jorts on. It'd just be like.
And they clearly had a pair of jeans that they were like, because normal jean shorts are cut differently than like your skinny jeans.
Yeah, man.
But some guy was like, nah, like I look good in these skinny jeans. Hey. If only they were shorts.
See, if only they were frayed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, nah.
No, don't do it, man.
Don't do it.
Nope. I can't. I was trying to think. I was thinking, nah, man. And if you have some jean shorts left over, there's a certain style of jean short you can maybe get away with. But if it's literally like you've had these since the 2000s and they're baggy, you're done, bro.
Yeah.
You're done, bro. Like, it's nothing worse. Last summer, I had my last pair of baggy shorts and I had a fitted t-shirt. And then it just gets weird. You look down, you got this fitted t-shirt, and then you got these flare-out shorts on.
Yeah, or what? You have, like, the cut-off jeans that are shorts that are skinny jeans. Yeah. But then you have to ride a fixie bike and have a top knot eat granola for breakfast.
And a man bun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a thick beard.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Probably smoke some cigarettes right after that. All right, number two.
With no filters.
American spirits,
that's
dude.
That's it, man.
Don't do that, bro.
Don't do it.
All right, number two for me. And forgive me because I think this is generally... is it a white person thing? Or,
we'll find out.
The socks and sandals.
No, it's not. It's not.
Okay, it's a universal thing.
That we have to delineate sandal styles as well, but go ahead, I'm gonna get you.
Like, unless you are walking off the basketball court or like walking to
there
a sporting
there
event,
you go. There you
it
go.
Doesn't matter.
All right,
I don't care if you're wearing the Adidas athletic sandals, or if you're wearing socks with the bikini style sandal. That's
Birkenstocks.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if it flips and it flops. Don't wear socks.
It flips and it flops. Don't wear socks.
Like, God, that's good.
You're
I mean,
welcome.
Trademark that.
Man, you
should
it.
Put that on a shirt.
You're killing them right now, bro. That's the next set of don't do that, bro. Gear, man. If it flips and it flops,
don't wear
socks,
man. That's tweetable.
Come
Tweet
on, man.
That,
please.
But for real, like.
Yeah.
If it's cold enough that you got to put socks on, the second thought shouldn't be, you know what I want to wear with these is flip-flops. Socks beget generally pants.
If it's cold enough.
Like, your thoughts should never, ever be like, you know, it's cold in this house. I need to put some socks on. And then you put on shorts, and then you're like, well, I'm going to put on sandals. Like, no, don't do it.
I don't care if they're leather. I don't care if they Jesus sandals. I don't care if you look like Ben Hur. I don't care. No, stop.
Like, I don't care if you need circulation help. Like, there's a 70-year-old man listening to Don't Do That, Bro, right now that's like, but I got bad circulation.
Hey,
no,
man,
die
down.
Now.
Sit down, man. You can live. Just sit down.
Die. Go get a massage. All these things lead to better circulation.
Yep.
Don't wear socks.
Don't wear the socks, man. Oh man, that's rich, man. You couldn't tell us nothing in the '90s, bro. Man, get you them Nike joints, the strap that you pull off. Man, those were lit.
Who invented the Adidas sandals that have like the million pokey things that like are the most uncomfortable? That bro. They're like this like massage. No, it doesn't.
Reebok used to have those. I had like three or four pair of them, bro.
Yeah, and it was like. Man. It was like walking on nails. Yeah. Like, hey, I got an idea. Yeah. Let's make the most uncomfortable sandals ever.
Yep. And it was a bad situation, mm-hmm. too. So since you're talking about sandals, definitely not a white person thing. But yay or nay on, like, Havaianas.
What?
Havaianas? You know about Havaianas?
Nope.
The flip-flops from Brazil? Nah, man, them joints is
from
Brazil.
Oh, I have some of those. I have some of those.
Yeah, but some dudes get on this whole thing about I can't have anything between my toes, but you got on socks. So I'm saying, like,
and if dudes that wear socks and those type sandals, that's like, one, it took a lot of effort to get that to slide on, and two, you look like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. Like... Come on.
Oh, like, TMNT feet, man.
Yeah, like Master Splinter said no.
Wait, if you have on those wooden shoes like Master Splinter, can you have socks on?
All right, I'll let that slide.
Okay, all right, cool. Because that was kind of fresh with the kimono.
Unbelievable. Don't do it. Don't do it, bro. But what you should do is rate us because we didn't plug that at the beginning. Go rate the podcast.
That's it, man.
iTunes, download, share, please. Tell your friends about it.
Give us some stars. Give us 5 stars or 1 if we need to do something better. I'm not mad. You know what I'm saying? So, all right. I'm debating my third one. One, because I forgot what the real one was.
You want me to go real quick? I can do my third while you think about it.
Yours might be better than my third one.
Okay, go ahead.
So I want yours to be the last.
Okay.
I was really gonna go with piercings.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay. Piercings, gauges.
Please, bro. Like, I've seen so many dudes with the little bull ring thing in their nose this past.
Careful,
like,
careful. Someone, one of the owners of Fourth District rocks that right now.
See? It's infiltrated everyone, man. Even Fourth District, bro. It's
careful.
Really, bro?
Yeah. You
no
wanna guess
way.
Who?
I mean, it's only 1, 2, 3 I have people to guess from, bro. And I just saw one of them the other day, and I'm looking at you now. So I think by process of elimination.
Shout out to our faithful co-founder of Fourth District, Don Bean.
Like, we've already had one beef, man. I don't want another one, man.
You already have? Oh, we did have a beef.
Yeah.
He kind of like backslid us with that with that off the record situation.
Don't do it, man. Don't bring it up, man. We good. We passed that, man. All I was saying is
he wasn't ride or die. He was not ride. He is now, but man, he wasn't in that situation.
Hey, all I'm saying to Don is
we weren't famous enough yet.
I love you,
we
man.
We weren't famous enough yet.
I love you, man.
He's hating it now because we got 5 stars. Hey, everyone's giving us 5 stars.
I ain't mad about that. So the full on like bull, no, like Chicago
yeah,
bull,
maybe
bull
we,
thing.
Maybe we should sit down and have a chat with him.
Man, I just, you know, so it's been that, and it's been the Tupac nose ring that dudes have been doing lately. And I'm just like, yo, first of all, if you're still pushing your ears in 2017.
Maybe it's not the bull. Maybe it's just the Tupac
the
one.
The Tupac one?
Yeah, okay, maybe okay. I'm misremembering. Whew,
okay.
If that's less to you, the bull one's just worse?
I can deal with that, bro. Although, again, if you're doing it just for doing it's sake, like, I could let him slide because he's old enough to have done that when Tupac was alive. You know what I'm saying? Although you waited 20 years. I don't know why. You know what I'm saying?
Don't backslide now.
No.
We got to stand by our 9-iron right now.
For
and
sure.
Our 9-iron is saying,
for sure,
don't put metal in your face.
That's where I'm going with this. At the end of the day, hey, I don't even think dudes are piercing their ears anymore. Like, it's 2017. Like, are people still doing that?
I mean... The only thing I have experience mm-hmm. with is like when dudes like gauge their ears.
Well, I know, because again, hipsters rule, right? You know what I'm saying? And the longer the better. Put a cup in there if you want. Put a bowl in there. Put a bowling ball in there. Like, okay, what are you doing right now? I don't understand this life that you have. But gauges, yeah, like that definitely needs to stop. But
yeah.
I'm just like regular, everyday, going to Claire's, dudes getting their ears pierced non-surgically, not by a doctor. Just go to the mall.
Are you supposed to go to a doctor when you really do it?
I mean, they do it for kids at the doctor's office. You know what I'm saying? If you want to have like really clean and whatever, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you know, I'm the guy that gets physicals too. So.
I remember a girl in high school that got her ears pierced and it like turned green, like her ears turned green.
Ugh. See, that's that Claire's. That's what happens when you go to the mall to get your ears pierced. We don't know if you're allergic to whatever. And it's a wrap. Ear falls off.
Yeah, that's not good.
I got my ear pierced in the top cartilage area in high school. You remember when Cass was doing that? Did they do that out here?
Yeah.
I did it, and then I didn't feel very manly, and I took it out. I did it one weekend. My mom went out of town. It was my senior year. My mom, matter of fact, I got to hit my homeboy up that had me do that. But she was out of town. I was like, all right, this is the time I'm going to do it, because if I'm going to do it, it'll be in a couple days. She won't know. You know, boom, boom, boom. Then, like, day two, I was like, nah, bro.
I wanted to get my ears pierced, and my dad was like, I'll do it. I was like, word? Like, you can do that? Yeah. And he was like, yeah, I got a nail and I got a hammer.
Oh, gosh, man. Your dad would say that, bro.
We can take care of this.
Nah, no thanks, man.
Yeah, no. So, okay, so my last one.
Yep.
This is like a year-long, 12-month rule.
Oh, man.
But I feel like spring comes around. Mm-hmm. It gets darker later. Mm-hmm. And so you just consistently have your sunglasses on you later into the evening. Yeah. But dudes that walk inside with sunglasses on.
Stop it.
Like, you're not Birdman.
Bro, you're not. You're not at all.
Like.
Stop.
And you're not, like, high. Like,
and you're not
99.9% of you are not dealing with just crazy red eye. If not, get some clear eyes, like Ben Stein told you.
A long time ago.
Like, there are things that help you take care of that. But people that walk inside with sunglasses, I'm like, God, you just really think you're awesome.
Right, right. Let me show you the name on these lenses here.
And, dudes, if you are hollering at a girl with sunglasses on inside, you need to run away, because she's about to steal all your money.
Right.
And she doesn't give a damn about anyone, including you.
No, not at all. This is one of those times, you ever hear the phrase that I like to say, slap yourself?
Yeah.
I want you to, if you're in the building with your glasses on, slap yourself till your glasses come off your face.
And if you're listening to this and you have sunglasses on inside, I want you to never listen to our podcast again.
Hey, man.
Maybe they do. Maybe that was harsh.
That was a little hard.
Sorry.
This is why you need to listen to this show, because you're indoors right now, sitting down somewhere, listening to this show with glasses.
I hope someone's
on,
like at the DMV right now, like inside, like they're like
8:37,
slowly taking their sunglasses off.
B-52,
like crap.
Oh gosh, they got me again. Yeah, man. We're just trying to make men great again. You know what I mean?
We are.
One fashion tip at a time. Take off the jorts. No piercings. No glasses on the inside. No short shorts, whether you're a baller or a chub. You know what I'm saying? None of that stuff, man. Did I forget one?
No Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle socks and
come
sandals.
On, man. No socks and sandals, man. That has to go too, man. Like, I just don't. That's not gonna work.
Show we I didn't realize this, but we called out both Adon and Show in this segment.
I let Show slide because he was. It was. I guess maybe jorts was in fashion last summer.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't. But it was. I thought it was a hipster thing. So I was like, oh, he's got on the fitted T-shirt and the jorts. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, maybe.
All right.
And he probably had a scarf on, too. Okay, oh, that's another one that hits them both. Golly. I love my co-founders. I want you to know that. But
they don't wear scarves in the spring, man, do they? Oh, man. All right, well, hey, man.
If it's not, if it is not below 40 degrees outside, I need you to leave the scarf at home.
All right, cool. Can I add one more to this list?
Yeah, please. This is the greatest list ever right
can
now.
Can boat shoes die?
Hit me right there. Okay, now, so I got to find something with you now. I mean, I still own a pair of boat shoes.
Hey, man, you said a pair. I'm going to let you side.
They're reef boat shoes. Does that make them better? Like, they don't actually look
you
like
boat
shoes.
You can't step on a reef? You can't, like, what are you doing with them?
Well, I don't like reef, like the brand.
Oh, the brand reef. Hey, man, I don't.
Maybe they're surf shoes.
Hey, if they're not Vibrams and you're going to go run and climb rocks, I don't know what to tell you, man.
Shoot.
Who, like, people wear boat shoes on land, so I don't even know why they're boat shoes. I'm out of context with that whole situation. All I know is they need to go. Sperry's, Topside, whatever they are called. I don't know them.
Oh, I mean, I totally agree. They should die.
Boat shoes have to go, man. I don't. If you're on a boat, you're barefoot this spring and this summer. I don't want to see you nothing.
You're slipping.
You're flip. Oh yeah, you will slip, huh? Is that why people wear boat shoes?
I mean, I think so.
Get you some J's. I don't promote J's, but get you some nonstick. Get you some Skechers. Get you some of them. Get you some of them shoes
Sanukes.
They wear. Hey man, in the kitchen, one of them joints, the nonstick shoes. Like if you work at McDonald's or something like
oh,
that.
Oh yeah,
man.
Yeah, like shoes for crews.
That's it, man. Is that what they're called, bro? That just tickled me so much right now. Shoes for crews.
That's what it's called, bro. Man, clearly you never had to work in fast food.
First of all, I worked in the Dining Commons. Shout out UC Berkeley, Unit 1 and Bears Lair. You know what I'm saying? I used to hold it down. You know what I mean? Doing everything. So, yes. And but Cruise for Shoes, bro. Shoes for Cruise, bro. That's
UCLA still in the tournament?
Ooh. Did they?
Oh, not a real fan. Okay, moving on.
Well, I went to Berkeley, so I don't know about UCLA. UCLA Bruins.
Aren't they all the same thing?
No, sir. See, that's the Georgia life. Y'all got two schools here, Tech and UGA. And that's...
So, UC Berkeley, does it have a basketball team?
Yeah, the Cal.
Oh, so it's Cal.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they weren't in it.
Ring a bell. They weren't in it this year. You know what I'm saying? We took a year off. You know, we lost our top recruit. He was the number one pick a couple years ago. You know, we lost another guy. You know what I mean? So, you know, we're rebuilding.
You go get Lorenzo Ball's little brother.
Nah, he can stay at UCLA, man. I'm good.
You don't want the little one?
I don't want... Well, I don't know. He might be...
LaMelo?
LaMelo. That's his name?
They all start with L.
I don't have time for them. I'm not going to give them any shine.
One day, can we talk about, like, names, like, where families, like, just, like, alter the names slightly so that they're all the same? And it's a white and black thing.
Yeah.
Where it's, like, Brian, Bradley, and
Bill.
Yeah. Like, stop.
Yep.
You just ruined their lives.
They are done.
The B brothers.
The B brothers. BBs. Little BBs.
Or Lorenzo Labello.
LaRouge.
LaMarcus. We could go on.
No more ball talk. He gets no shine on this show. He's a buffoon. Your dad is stupid. and I'll fight him. You know what I'm saying? He might be Michael Jordan, but
you heard LeBron just was like, take my name and my kid's name out your mouth?
Yeah. Yep. No response. LeBron ain't about that action though either. But side note, this ain't the right show for that. Never mind. I just was going to go on a tangent about LeBron crying. Oh, all of a sudden I take a seat in the NBA once, blah, blah, blah. Man, get over it, bro. Anyway.
He needs to go get new hair plugins.
I ain't got time for him.
They fading hard.
I ain't got time for him, man. Spring, summer is around the corner. Get your wardrobe right. Make sure that you do what you need to do. Stop doing things like boat shoes. And I would rather see somebody in some Crocs than some boat shoes. I would respect a man on a boat in some Crocs. You know what I'm saying? That's just me. No Crocs either.
Dude, I can't rock with the rubber shoes. Like, my feet sweat, and then it's like the whole thing with Crocs, man. It's like a swamp in my shoes.
That's
like,
the whole thing with Crocs. It's supposedly not. I thought they were supposed to keep you from sweating or something like that.
Not my experience.
Oh, I never owned a pair.
It's the worst, bro. Oh, man. You like slipping and sliding in your shoes.
What's the point, man?
Having like foot sex with the.
Are you supposed to wear socks with the Crocs?
I mean, I have to.
Oh, man.
Maybe I have a sweaty issue on my feet.
Maybe that's the issue, man. To see somebody about that, man.
Again,
if you got a physical, they tell you about your sweaty feet.
I do need to go get a physical.
All right. It's all
turn
good,
30
man.
In a couple months.
You're right, man. It's that time.
You get that checked.
Let him play in there a little bit.
No, dude. God, that's going to suck.
Bend over.
Ugh.
All right, you're good. So listen, so that's the
people listening just think you checked me, okay?
I did, bro. That's the end of that, man. G check, homie. Eat that honey bun. Oh. No.
No, we gotta keep going.
All right, listen.
What are we talking about?
Spring is done. This is what happens when we take a week off. We just there's a lot of shenanigans happening right now. So B side of this thing, man. So part of being a male is potentially one day maybe having a wife and having a family, right? Again, it's 2017. Some dudes potentially will have a husband one day, but that's not the purpose of this conversation right now. So what we're talking about is male on female, male on children. Ah, that didn't sound right. A man marrying a woman and producing children from that union and being a successful emotional champion in the house, right? Making sure that as a father and as a husband, you are taking charge in the emotional development of your family and emotional maintenance. I was going to say maintenance, so that's why I kind of studied over there. Maintenance of your family.
So why are we talking about this? Like, at the root of it, why are we talking about it?
Because dudes are dumb, and dudes are dudes, and dudes need to be not like dudes when it comes to emotions.
Because just generally, are you suggesting that dudes are generally emotionally shallow, inept, like just out of touch?
See, I used to, so where I'm at now, I'm over this male bashing thing that kind of happens in pop culture, right? Men need to be less like men and more like women, but that's not being said overtly. So you have two schools of thought when it comes to like men's psychology, right? So you have men's psychology that's like, yo, men, be men, let's be men, let's understand how men work. And then there's men's psychology that's led by women at saying, be less like men, stop being so aggressive, stop being so this, stop being so that, which makes them like women, emasculates them, and effeminizes them. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? And so, it's an odd thing. It's like, you know, hey, there'd be no wars if it wasn't for men. There'd be no blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? But it's, yo, like, men have very distinct things that men do, the way they act, the way they behave, the way they think. And so what I'm saying is that I don't want it to be a situation where it's, thought of as dudes are emotionally shallow or dudes are emotionally this, that. The other thing is that if you find yourself being distant, cold, shallow, and all these other things, this is where you need to do something different, right? Because I think that dudes just get a bad rap when it comes to that. Because, yeah, sometimes guys are not, like, aren't emotionally available, or you have a dad who's not attached to his children and kind of just feels like he can just be a breadwinner and just show up, you know what I'm saying? Just show up, you know, at home, like just show up
right
when it comes to paying the bills and not show up to events or things of that nature. So I think that in general, dudes get a bad rap, but I do feel like there are some dudes that are generally in touch with their feelings, with their emotions, that do display that well. So this is kind of more of a conversation for guys that aren't aware of their emotional situation that need to do something different. Guys that are, that are aware but don't know how to properly carry out these things because maybe they've been told that they're too sensitive or they're this or they're that, the other thing. So it's more of an encouragement and a scolding for dudes, but without having the atypical, like, I don't know. I just
emasculation.
Yeah. You know what I mean? If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Did I answer your question?
Yeah, no, I think this is an amazing conversation just because, again, I don't necessarily fall like as most dudes, like when they'll describe their struggles emotionally, mm-hmm. I don't always really fit into that conversation. Mm-hmm. But what I fit more into, like, the kind of the second category, where I am a very emotional person, but a lot of times I'm kind of like the both and, like, I suppress a lot of the emotion for the sake of logic and trying to fit into more of that, like, mold. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of times that emotion can, like, overflow.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I'm just, like, turn into the Hulk. And my wife's like, whoa, where'd that come from?
Yep. And so I think that's where we're going with this, right? So there's four areas. So it's man to self, like, hey, doing what you got to do to be emotionally stable. Man to wife, man to child, and then man to family. You know what I mean? So starting off, what you mentioned, I think, was a great way of presenting the topic. It's like, hey, if you're a guy and you don't have emotional outlets, whether you see a therapist, whether you have real deep conversation with your friends, whether you have some kind of accountability in your life where you can explain and express disappointments, dissatisfactions, highs and lows, and not have to bottle these things up, you're failing yourself.
Sure.
Right? That has to be a part of life. It's like self-care. Like, you know, there's massages, and I mention all the time, there's going to the gun range, there's playing basketball, there's exercising, there's good diet, but there's also being able to expel, right, and also take in information from dudes when it comes to emotional health. And I don't know too many dudes that are intentional about getting with other dudes and making sure, or just one, and making sure that they take that time to talk emotions.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And more than just, I'm mad at my wife because, or I'm frustrated with my kids because, or I'm mad at my job because, like, no, like, have a genuine, like, yo, man, today, I heard a story about this kid, and this is kind of sad, but, you know, my line of work here, stuff like this, there's this kids, I can't really put people out there like that. So it's just the idea that you hear terrible stories, right? And
sure.
I hear this stuff all day long, and I don't often enough get that stuff out. You know what I'm saying? Like, but what has happened is that I have become callous to certain things and stuff just doesn't bother me. But, you know, I've switched jobs recently, and it's just like, man, like, I'm in an environment where I'm going to start meeting more kids that have trauma, and I'm going to have to deal with these things directly as opposed to in a roundabout way. And it's like, it's tough, man, when you hear about, like, yo, like, yeah, this kid and his sister witnessed one of their sisters being molested by a relative. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Not only was the kid molested, but the other two kids witnessed the molestation, and now their worlds are just torn apart, right? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And so I have to make sure that, excuse me, I have to make sure in approaching this new phase that I have a way to like, hey, damn, man, this was a tough day, or, you know, whoever, whatever, whatever, like, this is, like, it's rough, you know what I'm saying? And not trying to hold that stuff on my own, and or not trying to make sure that I suck it up and do something else with it. Like, no, that stuff has to be processed with, you know, processed.
Yeah, and so talk through, like, you know, because I think that there's, like, to have that, like, that due time where it's just, like, being in the relationships where you can be honest about what you're going through emotionally or whatever. But how does it not become just, like, a... Because, you know, everyone has those relationships where they just kind of, like, word vomit their life. And it's, like, how do you not get into that place where you just become that person that's, like, let me just tell you all my issues. And instead, how does that look healthily? Like, how do you create that balance where you are caring for yourself by doing that?
Well, I mean, the end goal should be feedback, right? Now, there's sometimes when the person listening should just be listening, right, and being empathetic and, you know, giving, you know, a head nod and all the other stuff. But the goal in the conversation should be to, I mean, I take this back. Some conversations can be word vomit, right? And it's like, I need to get this out and, you know, blah, 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 blah. But you should also be doing that with the intentions of if somebody has feedback or some ways to, like, give you perspective or say, hey, man, you're really tripping, especially if it's, like, wife stuff or just stuff that where you're just complaining. You don't want it to be complained. You want it to be download, you know what I'm saying, or unload or whatever the case may be.
Sure.
And to keep it from just being word vomit or just, you know, trauma, drama, blah, 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 you know, woe is me, you need to be looking for feedback.
And I guess flipping to the other side of it is, Why do dudes, like, shy away from it so much? Like, because, you know, just even, like, thinking about the 4th District, you know, office, people that we interact with on a consistent basis, you know, there's a lot of times that we kind of skirt, you know, as mostly men, the serious, like, the real serious issues, the emotional side of issues, because, you know, maybe it's scary. Why is it that we just kind of don't feel safe to, like, go to that place?
I mean, it's kind of like we were saying before with, like, Westbrook and Durant. Instead of just being able to accept things or hug it out or talk through it or whatever, we had, you know, fight or flight response, and we leave it at that base of nature, right? And so it just becomes, hey, if we fight, whether it's words or physical, we get over it and we're best buddies again, you know what I'm saying? And so usually it boils down to not having that example in the home growing up. You know what I'm saying? So if you weren't able to have those conversations with your dad, with your uncle, with, you know what I'm saying, somebody in the family or a mentor, you don't know how to do it, you know? And so, or you're afraid of doing it because you don't want to cry or seem weak, you know, all the typical man stuff that is stupid. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Like crying is a strength, not a weakness, you know? And your body needs to purge and cleanse. And so that's what tears do. Right. And so I think that, I don't know, it's just, I think it's a societal issue, and it's just it's a cultural issue that when you don't have that example, you don't see it as a strength, and it becomes a sign of weakness.
Sure. Yeah, man. Yeah. Anything else with just, like, self-care? And
no, I think that, I mean, that's pretty much it. Just making sure that you set aside time on a consistent basis to have those conversations with a dude or with dudes, and really just get some input, get some feedback, and be able to really, really, really describe and talk through and walk through those things.
All right. So last thing real quick, then, as I think about that. So there's, you know, thankfully I've grown up in a scenario that, you know, that does happen on a consistent basis. Just with guys that I've grown up with, and there's that like social capital with them where I feel safe to kind of say, hey, this is what I'm going through. When we sit down with other dudes and just chop it up, it's like, this is a safe place.
Yep.
Talk to the guy, though, that, like, this is the first time. Like, they may have never had that.
Yeah.
Like, how do they break that ice? How do they find that person that they can do that with? Because it's a scary thing to just be, like, they've been friends with a guy or with a group of guys or, single guy for a long time, and all of a sudden they're, like, going into this very deep emotional place, and it's like, whoa, bro, like, I thought we played video games together and we just kick it, like, why are you rocking that boat?
We
had something good going here. How do you break that ice?
I mean, of course, because of how I make my living, I'm like, yo, see a therapist, right?
Sure.
Right, so you start there. It's like a soft start, you know. It's like, hey, or I mean, you know, an entryway, right? Because I think the idea is, like, one, learning the skills to process, learning how to think through things, learning how to see things from different lenses. Oh gosh, that's multiple lenses, right? Being able to have someone to kind of bounce back ideas of what it means to be able to express and what it looks like. You know what I mean? Just sure. having a trained professional. And that doesn't, I mean, that can come in the form of a mentorship relationship. It can come in the form of speaking to a pastor or elder at the church, or if you're in a secular environment like work, you know, they usually have people that you can, you know, if you're at a decent company, they'll have someone you can come to go and talk to. But it's just the idea that you don't necessarily have to start with your homeboy. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Just have, you know, it would be great if we can have these conversations with our dads, right? That would be amazing. But some dads aren't even, you know, ready for that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I feel like I probably could have that with my dad. I know you probably could definitely for sure have that with your dad.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, yes, now, but it took a very awkward conversation yeah. for us to get there.
Yeah.
Where I'd like, with, you know, growing up, that wasn't the case. Yeah. His dad didn't have that example yeah. for him. Yeah. So for the majority of my adolescence, like that didn't exist. And it was literally, I had that relationship with other dudes, yep. other mentors growing yep. up. And I came home, one, like my sophomore year of college, and it was like, we like were out hanging, doing what we normally do, which was like, you know, talking about the world, politics, yeah. anything but like where I was and what I was thinking through and struggling with. And finally just, it was like, Dad, I want to be us to be able to talk through this. And yeah. it was crazy because he was like, me too. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times it's just that conversation of permission
yeah.
To go to that place yeah. Yeah. That like opens up that ability. And for us, that was the key to have it. But you're right. Like, and it's different with a dad. Like when you're able to have that with your dad, even if the relationship was broken to varying degrees prior to that moment, I feel like it's super healing, or at least it was for me mm-hmm. To be able to kind of to this day to go there with him.
Yeah. And I think what you mentioned is important if it's someone that's outside of dad, right? To have that, you know, I don't know if it's a conversation you have or how you figure out if it's safe to go there, right? It's like, yo, hey man, you have time to kind of really talk about some real stuff. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, who would say no? But I, you know what I'm saying? It's just, that's a wise thing to do if it's, sure. if it's somebody that, because some people ain't ready for that. Some people can't handle the download or whatever. Download, not down low. So that comes with the emotional stuff.
Sure.
So good.
Yeah, good. All
right. So you know, man to wife, right? So I think the idea here is building an emotional place so that one, you can actually have emotional conversations with your wife from you to her, and then also attune to her emotions. And so I'll start with her on the first end, because then I'm gonna say how terrible I am on for me to my wife, mm-hmm. right? So I think the biggest thing, the easiest thing to do is something simple, five love languages, right? You're familiar with that.
Sure.
Right? So five love languages, if you're not familiar with it, is gift of touch. Oh, sorry. Physical touch, right? Like mm-hmm. hugs and kisses, right? Acts of service, right? Like taking out the trash or washing the dishes or something like that. Yep.
Words of affirmation.
Words of affirmation, yep. Being able to say kind things. Gifts, like actually mm-hmm. buying gifts. And then number five is, no matter what order I go in,
time spent.
Quality time. Wow. Quality time, right?
Together we make one transformer.
Hey, man. So quality time and the other four I just said. So those things are important. What's important about the five love languages, even if you don't want to believe the five love languages, is loving your wife the way she needs to be loved, not the way you want to love her. So for instance, hey, honey, I got these tickets to the Super Bowl. We're going to the Super Bowl. I know you've been kind of mad and frustrated with me the last couple weeks, but we're going to the Super Bowl. I paid $4,000 for the flights, for the hotel, for the tickets. We're in there. And she's like, yeah, you're an asshole because I just wanted you to take out the trash. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the idea is that all she wanted you to do was an act of service. You thought buying her a gift was what was going to work because you wanted to go to the Super Bowl. She doesn't care about football, nor the Super Bowl, nor all these things that you've done. So if you had just, I said asshole. Is that okay to say?
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, that's clinical language. Mm-hmm. A lot of wives call their husband assholes. You know what I'm saying? So the idea there is if you had just taken out the trash because she likes acts of service, wash the dishes because she likes acts of service, babysit the kids, well, babysit your own kids, watch the kids while she's going out and get a pedicure or manicure, that's what she would have rather had. Yeah. It would have saved you a lot of money.
Because to her, that says, I love you.
Right. Yep. Yep. And so whatever that thing is that your wife has, in terms of what she needs, that's what you need to be doing, not fulfilling your own needs by doing stuff for yourself.
Sure.
That's stupid.
And what's easiest for you?
Right. I bought us some. No, you didn't buy us anything. You bought yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't work. And so I think that's major key. So if you don't know what her love language is, that's a problem. And maybe you have something that's different than that, but whatever it is, don't buy her flowers when she wants you to cook her a meal.
Absolutely.
Like, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And I think that's one part of it. Did you have?
No, I mean, I think this is, like, honestly, I think this is the most important topic. Like, not to shun, like, self-care and mm-hmm. to shun kids, but, like, I think, you know, this is probably the biggest issue facing yeah. almost every listener that is married that or is in a serious relationship, mm-hmm. committed relationship, where this is the most difficult thing to do, emotion, like to lead and to invest emotionally on a consistent basis with someone that you see the worst of mm-hmm. and you spend the most time with, it becomes draining. It becomes easy to push away, to kind of harbor, you know, whatever bitter emotions. And so I think I'm excited to have this conversation just because I know this is probably the hardest mm-hmm. thing to consistently emote and to invest emotionally into.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a problem. If you don't know what she likes and if you don't know what she needs, that's a problem. You know what I mean? You need to do some research, do something better. So the other thing is when you're talking about loving your wife, you want to make sure that you set up an environment where she feels like she you're emotionally available for her. Right, which is the tricky part, because it's one thing to be like, hey, she comes and tells you how she's feeling, right, and you have empathy and you love her through it and you know, walk her through that stuff and talk with her, but it's the other thing that women want to connect with you emotionally. So that means we have to be emotionally available, we have to be emotionally in tune, and we have to share with her our emotions, right? So emotionally available is great. But if you're not also in turn sharing your emotions, that's the problem, right? So for me, the issue is I know that with my wife, there's two things that throw a monkey wrench in this plan. If my emotion or my emotions that I'm trying to talk through involve something with her, whether I was mad yesterday, but I'm not anymore, let me tell you why I was mad, she immediately becomes defensive, and then she makes all these reasons why it's my fault that I felt the way I felt, and then I immediately don't want to talk anymore, right? So I'm like, yo, if you would stop talking and stop making this about you and let me say, hey, I'm saying that you may have started me on this emotional situation, but I ultimately control me. So that's on me if I let you take me to a place I should have gotten to.
Sure.
But don't start attacking me by defending yourself, because that doesn't help me. Right?
Sure.
So I've been in those situations and I fought through it. It's a difficult thing. Like, I remember one time I took my wife on a date. We were at this place called Spondivitz. It's a nice little spot in East Point. You know, got some good seafood or whatever the case may be. It costs a lot. And I'm saying, hey, the night before, hey, man, I apologize for my behavior yesterday. I was a little upset about da-da-da-da-da-da-da. She immediately goes into this rant about why it's my fault that I felt the way I felt. And I was like, all right. I just dropped my phone on the table and was like looking elsewhere. She was
I'm
like,
out.
Yeah, she was like, oh, I killed your vibe. I was like, yes. Yes, you did. So after a few minutes of silence, I was like, all right, let me be the bigger person in this situation, be an adult male. And so I proceeded to finish the conversation. You know what I mean? So that I had to fight through that initial desire to stop talking. The other thing is, I know that with my wife, if it's not that first scenario, it's sometimes the second scenario where it's going to, an emotional conversation is a long conversation. It's a long conversation. It's not a quick, hey, I can say, hey, damn, man, yeah, today was work, da-da-da, stuff, blah, blah, blah. Man, that sucks. Want a beer? Yeah, cool, right? With her, emotional conversations just go on and on and on and on. And it's like, oh, gosh, I really just want to go do something else. You know what I'm saying? And so for me, it's like, oh, I have to have the bandwidth to get ready to go into this place and be in this place. And so I have to prepare myself. But where I fail is I don't enter into those conversations because I'm trying to avoid a long conversation. And like, hey, when I tell her, hey, I'm fine, that means I'm fine. Don't ask me 17 times, but you don't look fine. You don't sound fine. You don't smell fine. You don't. Hey,
I'm not fine now because you asked me 17 times.
Bro, I'm glad I'm not the only one. I literally told my wife that one time, like, yo, I'm fine. I'm okay. But if you ask me one more time, I would not be okay. Like, I literally told her, like, I would not be okay.
Yeah.
Just leave it at that. You know what I'm saying? So they don't deal well with the one-word answers. They don't deal well with the fines. They want all these defined words. They want 17 different emotions. So you just got to be ready to go there, and you got to have the vocabulary for it. So just bone up on your vocabulary.
I think it's interesting you point that out, like, because I think my emotional EQ, like, it's like, there's, like, I'm stoked.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I'm super pissed off, and I can't really 100% tell you, like, why I'm pissed off, mad,
mm-hmm.
Or I'm just, like, just super bummed out, sad.
Yeah.
Like, I really have those three emotions. And, you know, my wife has, like, you know, varying degrees of those things, and she can articulate, you know, words that, like, pinpoint exactly on the, like, spectrum of where she is.
Yeah.
And you know, I feel like the pendulum that swings quickly, and she, in reality, she swings way slower than I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one thing that, you know, you didn't mention that I would love to get your opinion on is, like, I struggle to, and I think a lot of dudes, is my guess, a lot of dudes struggle to, like, kind of emotionally go there with their wives because they don't want to be perceived as weak.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my biggest thing is, like, it's crazy because I can emotionally go there with other dudes because, like, to be honest, like, whether it be I don't care what they think of where, like, of my quote unquote weakness, or we've already broken that barrier and I'm willing to be that vulnerable. But what's crazy is it was the one person I care the most about. I want to be perceived as strong, as put together, capable.
Yeah.
And when I talk about, you know, struggling with inadequacy or you know, varying degrees of lack of confidence, depression, whatever it might be, all of a sudden I feel like, okay, well, that may disqualify me as being able to be her man, be these things. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to let her in on those things. I'm going to try to, like, be the even keeled. And again, a lot of times I try to be that for so long that eventually it kind of, like, all that emotion kind of boils over into a moment of, like, extreme emotion that is hard for anyone to handle.
And it's crazy because if we just were in a place where we would say, hey, honey, today is a rough day, da 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 da. Like, I tell my wife all the time, and it's always hindsight, like, yo, I apologize for yesterday, but this is where I was at. I was frustrated. I feel like I failed in this blah, 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 in this area. I should have did this better. And I think the reason why most dudes get so frustrated with their wives and families is because it's a constant reminder of their failings.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to come home and see the areas that you fail in all the time, and you can't go away from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's funny. I sent this to you. This is my chart of emotions. And it maybe we'll get to post it on the site or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's just like I put this grumpy cat chart up, and basically – He's very consistent.
Yeah.
I'll leave it that way.
Yeah.
If you want to Google that, you can find the expressions of Grumpy Cat. You know what I'm saying? And that's my life. That's what they call me. So you don't want to have the same look and the same face and the same expressions for everything, right?
Yeah.
You want to have a mixed bag. That's kind of key. I mean, there's a whole bunch of other stuff, but I think as a very entryway into understanding how to best handle the emotional leading in your home, I think this is some good first steps.
Yeah. And I think too, it's challenging, and I think it's scary. Just like the first time you break the ice with with one of your dudes or with a counselor or a mentor, it's scary to put yourself out there, and I think it's even scarier at times to put yourself out there with your wife or your significant other. But I think once you do it and you break that ice, you're like, oh, that's not as scary as I thought it would be. And I can tell you I'm not doing good. And it doesn't mean that we're not doing good. Yeah. It doesn't mean that I have failed. It just means like, hey, right now I'm struggling to process some things. Yeah. And yeah.
Yeah.
And you can kind of let it be that. But for a long time, I was really scared of that statement for mm-hmm. whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I felt like I had to be okay yeah. in our relationship.
Yeah.
And it caused tension until I was finally willing to be like, I'm not okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's another thing too. Like so I think we may have talked about this on one of these podcasts, but when I first got married, my wife would say, oh, I didn't realize it was a big deal because you didn't make it a big deal. Like, I'm not your dad and I'm not about to whoop you or yell at you to get you to understand that this thing is important.
Right.
If I've said it, it's important. You know what I'm saying? But so when I act an ass and talk all crazy and yell and fuss, then you're like, don't talk to me like that. But then you also said you only realize it's important when I respond that way. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. it's like trying to figure out delicate situations like that. It was like, I need you to understand this, but I'm not finna get out of character just so that it gets, you know, hit home.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And it's just knowing your wife. You know yeah. what I mean? And so.
And for me too, I've had to learn how to, like, for me, the number one rule, the rule in our family growing up was, if you're going to like feel some type of way about something mm-hmm. or complain about something, you better be willing to like do something about
right.
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've had to learn how to be like, listen and just be like, she is frustrated. She's sad. Mm-hmm. She's whatever about that. And there's probably nothing that we can do about it.
Yeah.
And that to me was something super difficult to wrap my yeah. brain around, is like, it's okay for her to like be in this place and for there not to be like a fix.
Yeah.
Cause I want to kind of like fix things. I want to make it okay.
Yeah. Stop trying. Just let the process.
Just listen.
Just listen, man. Just be there. All right. So then we have dad to kids, right?
I'm taking notes because I'm about to be there.
Hey, man. Congratulations, sir. Team No Sleep. You're welcome. You know what I'm saying? You can tag. I'm going to tag you in. You got it. I'm going to sleep. Hook or crook, I'm doing something. I can't take this anymore. I feel like I'm going on 2 years of insomnia. Like, I'm a zombie. Right? You don't feel
Yeah, you laid down your motorcycle today.
That too, man. You know, what I don't like, East Point, they got this T-Splash money. They're fixing up the streets. But you can't have a, like, have you ever, when you were a kid, riding a bike, and instead of when you're coming up like a, you know, the curve, what do you call the part where you drive up the curve? Like, it's not the curb where you hit it and die, but the curb where it's like, an angle so that you can drive into a driveway type yeah. of thing, right? Have you ever taken your tire and not been able to come at an angle so that you go smoothly above the incline?
Yeah, sure.
And then you rub against it and you kind of had that friction?
Yeah.
So that's what happened today. Like, I'm coming down the street. I couldn't turn wide because it's one lane going each direction. I would have got hit on oncoming traffic. So I tried to get close to it and kind of turn my wheel fast enough, and I didn't have enough speed. And so I just scrubbed. Like, I couldn't get over, right? So the bike just kind of falls over. You follow me?
So you were going pretty slow when you...
Yeah. If I was going faster, I would have had to come at a different angle to just jump. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because it's not a smooth, like, you make a right turn onto the street, you just make a right turn.
Yeah.
But the way they're fixing the road, it's a bump up. You know yeah. what I'm saying? And so it's just like,
it kind of, your tire almost went up and then it slipped back down yep, and just. Yep.
They fall over. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? So luckily I wasn't going too fast. But I definitely learned how to take fairings off today and, you know what I'm saying, do some stuff. And it was literally just broke stuff, you know what I'm saying? But my bearings look good, so it's all good. So, you know, that's life. But yeah, so when dealing with children, for the sake of time, the biggest thing is helping them have a vocabulary to express their emotions, right? So when I do talks about emotional development for children, one of the things that I do is, depending on the time, is I would like to show the movie Inside Out. Have you seen Inside Out?
Sure.
Right? Start with that. And then have a conversation afterwards about, hey, children are like adults. They have feelings too, right? The worst things we can do as parents is to repeat the stuff that we've heard over time. I'll give you something to cry about, right? Like, I'm already crying. I'm a kid. And you're going to give me something to cry about? I'm already crying. So that what you're telling me is just going to hurt me more physically, sure. right?
Yeah.
Right? Stop crying. Like, you can't tell a kid to stop crying. Like, when does that work? You know what I'm
it
saying?
It doesn't.
Right?
It just makes you feel better as a parent.
Right. Stop crying. And then they stop crying or they cry more, right? What I do with my daughter is I say, hey, why are you crying? Are you hurt? You're not hurt? Then you don't have to cry. It's okay. Use your words and tell me what's going on.
Yeah.
Stop crying. if they wouldn't be crying in the first place if they didn't have, if they had something else.
Right, right,
right. Right. So you're trying to figure out, it's being an active parent, trying to figure out why they're actually crying. So things are those things that I'll give you something to cry about. Like all that stuff is just like, it's just stupid, that, but that's what we know, right? Right. The idea is giving your child the vocabulary to know the difference between happy, sad, frustrated, mad, angry, tired, sleepy, hungry, all of that type of stuff. And so there's different charts you can find out there. There's one that I like a lot, and it's all age appropriate. You know, at a certain age, you can't expect a two-year-old to be like, I'm tired, father, and I would like to take a nap now. You know, that's why I'm throwing a fit, right? But just giving them vocabulary as it's age appropriate. There's this one that has charts. It's like a three circles. On the inner circle, it'll have basic emotions like happy, sad, angry, frustrated. The next circle, it'll expound on what each happy one of those. Is. What, you know what I'm saying? And then there's another outside ring. So doing stuff like that to where you can have age appropriate ways of teaching your kids how to express themselves gives them a vocabulary, gives them a voice. Imagine, the analogy I use is like, imagine you go to a foreign country, you're hungry as hell, like you dying. Mm-hmm. Of thirst, and all you're trying to say is give me some water, and they're like, bro, I don't know what you're saying. The water's on the table over there, but they're not like, I don't,
they can't help you,
they can't help you, you know. And that's how children are, man. Like I feel this way, something has happened, like with my daughter, when you take stuff from her that makes her mad, right? But I'm like, I'm an adult, I can take this iPad out of your hands because you're a baby. But if someone was to come up to you and take an iPad out of your hands that you were looking at, you'd feel a certain way about that,
sure.
Right? Right?
Sure.
Same thing for children. They feel a certain way about that, but because we're adults, we feel like we could just do that. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you should just sit here and you shouldn't feel this type of way. Like, no, I will fight a man for grabbing something out of my hands that, yep, I'm looking at, right?
Yep.
It's not very difficult in a sense if you take the time and you be patient and you figure out, again, age appropriate stuff depending on where the kid is. And again, I think Inside Out, if you haven't seen Inside Out, watch Inside Out to kind of give you perspective on that, and then help you maybe build some empathy on what it looks like to kind of do that.
Yeah, no, I think this is probably my biggest fear, as becoming a dad, here in the next, you know, 6-5 months or so, mm-hmm, is not repeating the same, like, issues that, you know, were given to me as a kid. Like, mm-hmm, I don't know what it's like to be a dad, or to, like, to have a dad that's of a kid who emotionally connects. Like, yeah. I know what it looks like when that kid turns 17.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can, like, figure that out because that was, you know, very clearly done well in my life. But, you know, the 8, 9, 10 adolescent ages, mm-hmm, like, man, I look back on my life and I felt like I was on a friggin' island,
yeah,
figuring that stuff out for, yeah, myself.
Yeah.
And so I just want to be a dad that, like, that doesn't necessarily, you know, shy away from the emotional complexity of adolescence, and that's what I remember, and, yeah, and my gut tells me it's probably the same earlier on in life. And so, yeah, just as a parent, it's, how do you do it well? How do you not just say this is hard and complicated and say, like, this makes my life harder, let's just simplify things down to listen to what I say,
right,
and,
right,
and and don't feel,
right, right,
your emotions,
stop
are
crying.
Yeah, your emotions are not,
yep,
relevant here.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, but I know that lack of sleep, frustration,
yep,
lead typically to, will you just listen to what I say and,
right,
do what I say?
Right.
I don't care how you're feeling about it. Just, yeah, do what I say, not. And so,
yeah. That is a terrible way of approaching things. You know what I mean? And another thing too is displaying emotions properly, right? I don't remember ever a time hugging my dad. You know what I'm,
yeah,
saying? Like, I don't, growing up, like, I mean, even now, you know, you do the, you know, the cool handshake, bring it in type stuff or whatever. But I feel like, I don't know. Yeah, like, I was afraid of my dad. Like, I didn't think he was going to kill me, but I would obey rules out of fear of, like, what he could do to me. I remember he whooped me, like, once with a back brace, like, weightlifting belt. And it was nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it didn't hurt. It was like a feather, right? So I had to put on the show, like, like, it hurt me. But all of that started because I was wearing my school pants and I was skateboarding and fell in the gutter and it got them wet. They weren't torn or nothing like that. But I'm like, you about to whoop me because I forgot to take my pants off. Like, I just wanted to get outside after school. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And so it was just like, one, I don't even understand why you're mad. Like, it's not a big deal. Like, you didn't have a conversation with me. And all I know is, like, you're trying to teach me a lesson about changing my pants. Like, we could have did this in a different way.
Right.
Right. And I was just grateful for that time. Like, all right, I get it, because this is serious enough for you to whoop me. Because he's only whooped me like 3 times in my life. Right. Mom, on the other hand, was not afraid of the iron fist. She gave me the business. But, and would punch me like in the chest and in the stomach. Like, hey, don't do that again. You know what I mean? Like, whew. I jumped out of the bushes one time and scared her. She hit me in my stomach so hard, I just curled over, bro. And I was like, I'm sorry.
I'll never do that again.
It was just a joke. Like, why did you do that? I shouldn't scare you. But, yo, so back to the dad. So it's just like, yeah, like, I don't remember that, right? So it's things. So, one, helping them have a vocabulary, but then also showing them emotions, right? And having those conversations. Son, it frustrates me when you do this. Daughter, it makes me sad when this happens. Son, I become angry when, you know what I'm saying? Having a conversation, letting them know how you feel, and being able to explain to them why they shouldn't do stuff.
Man, that's really good. Can you talk a little bit, and I know this is going to be your opinion. And
which is right.
People are going to vary differently on this, but mm-hmm. like, for me growing up, like, my dad was very physical. Mm-hmm. Like, he knew how to, you know, deal with me, like, in the sense of, like, I remember one time specifically, I'll never forget my entire life, like, I basically kind of just, like, became a super adolescence, like, was like, man, fuck you.
Yeah.
Like he told me to do something, I was like, go do it yourself, basically, is wow. what I said.
Yeah.
And I vividly remember getting picked up out of the chair that I was in,
yeah.
like, taken to another room, picked up by my throat, yeah. like, it was just like, and, you know, as a man,
yep.
how you deal with being disrespected yeah. in the rest of the world
yeah.
is like, you punk me, I'm gonna like, yeah. I'm gonna punk you right back. Yeah. And this is about to get a very, like, a physical altercation. Yeah. Knowing that to be true, like, what is your opinion on just, like, physically interacting with,
hey, man.
As you lead emotionally? Like, I know that yeah. it probably is probably one of the biggest stumbling blocks yeah. as a dude is, like, yeah. reacting physically versus yeah. reacting in a lot, like, hey. In an emotional,
yeah.
healthy emotional.
What you just said, bad John, good John. I think it's good John. I like that your dad did that, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, you're a man. Let's do this like men, right?
Yeah.
On the other end, if it's, hey, I'm just whooping my kid. Like, for instance, my daughter, right? She's 2 years old. We're about to be 2 years old. There's been times where, so we were doing the taps, right? Like, hey, teach you, like, this is not okay. But then I realized at some point in time, some of the taps were trying to get her to comply, right? And so it's one of those things where, if I don't want her to touch the iPad, put the iPad away, right? If I don't want her to turn the TV off, remove the remote controller, put it somewhere she can't get it.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't want her to pour out her bowl of Cheerios when she says she's done, take the bowl away, right? And so there was a point in time where the transition was like, all right, stop giving her taps, because one, I don't want to squash her her psyche, right? And to make her to destroy her, you know, as, mm-hmm. as a person. But then
what's taps?
Taps, like, I would either tap her hand and say, hey, that's a no-no. Like, that's a no-no. Give her a tap to let her know, like, hey, stop, right? Or I get her in that thigh meat and be like, hey, tap that back there. Like, mm-hmm. hey, stop it. You know what I'm saying? And so it would work. But then one day she swung on me and I was like, oh, okay. This is what you want to do. And I had to remember that she was a baby because I was going to punch her through the wall, right? So the idea was like, okay, in certain situations, now we're at a point where you hurt me, I hurt you back, so then you hurt me back. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. all I'm teaching you is to hurt other people, right? Can't do that. So that's when you have to use your words. But recently, what has happened is, hey, in times past, if I didn't want you to pour out your Cheerios, I would take the bowl away when you say you're done. Now I leave it there and I talk to you and I say, hey, do not pour this out. This is a no-no. Do mm-hmm. not. No-no. Do not. No-no, right? And so the thing is, because you're not the boss of me. You're 2 years old, and if I say sit here, be patient, and I will take the bowl away when I come to get the bowl, you need to be able to do that,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it's building block stuff,
sure.
right? Not to be mean, not to make her sit there for an hour in her high chair, but it's like, yo, like, you cannot pour your water out when you're done. You cannot pour your Cheerios out. That's
sure.
not okay, right?
Sure.
So that becomes, hey, learning the difference between discipline and creating rules and regulations versus just being a jerk and just beating your kids. Like,
yeah.
she, like, you can't, she just does that. Like, that's her thing. Like, oh, I'm frustrated, so I'm going to just pour this out. Or you're not doing what I want you to do, so I'm going to pour it out. So I think it's a matter of, like, I'm all for dads yoking up their sons. Like, I don't want to have to put hands on my daughter because I don't want my daughter thinking it's okay for a dude to put hands on her later on in life.
Sure.
Yeah,
I never thought of it that way. But and to be fair to my dad, like, in no way did he hit me. In no way did he, like, swing on me. Yeah. He just made his, like, physical presence, like, I'm in control of this situation now.
You will die.
Like, I have control. Yeah. Like, you are not, like, as big as you think you are. And my mom didn't make the situation any better because she was screaming in the background, "No, Joel, don't do it!" Like,
that's the best, bro. That's good.
Like, where she just couldn't deal because to her it looked like a very, as a female and as a mother, it looked like a very violent situation. Yeah, yeah. Like,
but that's
her,
good.
Her son just got, like, feet was not on the ground, and was being held up by his throat. But at the same time, I wasn't being hurt.
Yeah.
I want to be fair. I want to be, because someone's calling, like, defects, and it's like,
it's too late, bro. It's too late, man.
But at the same time, like, you know, again, I want to be careful to that I wouldn't necessarily repeat it to the extent that maybe that situation was, but. Yeah, I'm interested to hear because it seems like it's something that you're like, hey, this isn't always a bad situation.
It's the law of the jungle, right? Have you seen the different type of National Geographic shows where the pup is with the lion with the dad and they're pulling on his mane and biting a nipple on him? Then he just slaps him like, hey,
quit.
Hey, stop it. Like, I nudged you and told you to get away and you didn't get it. So I'm just slapped the piss out of you real quick, right?
Yeah.
And the pup is like, you right. My bad, dad.
I won't do that again.
I won't do that again. You know what I'm saying? And so that's when the thing, and it's usually like when they hit him in the, you know, the private parts, or he's just had enough. You know what I'm saying? Like, stop it. And so I think that's just like dad law. You know what I'm saying? At some point in time, for your son to understand, hey, you're doing too damn much, you get yoked up. You know what I'm saying? Like, nah, you ain't got to punch the kid in his face and bust his nose. And
right,
like
right.
That.
It's not, he's not an equal to you.
Nah, you yoke him up and let it be known that, hey, bruh, like, I, you know, my son potentially may be taller than me. I'm 5'10". My father-in-law's 6'2", 6'3", or something like that. And, you know, my son was already, you know, leaps and bounds above, you know what I'm saying, height, weight, and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yo, I'm going to get on these weights soon. I keep saying that. I keep off and on. But like, yo, because I'm like, I want to enjoy the time when it comes to yoke him up. Hopefully I never have to. He's a good boy. But if I need to yoke him up, I want to be able to yoke him up.
Yeah.
And I don't want it to be like, oh, my son's like, oh, I just let him have it because he's my dad and I didn't want him to feel bad. But like, no, I want you to fear me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? When that needs to happen.
Yeah.
Hopefully it doesn't have to happen.
Yeah, totally. And it's not a, like, again, how do we lead emotionally? It's not a, because I would say for me it was a majority, like, physical altercations was the reality. It was like, I'm gonna tell you what to do and what not to do physically. Emotionally it came much later in life, but I think what I hear you saying is there's a balance of helping give a vocabulary to your kids, but also when the time comes and they just keep pushing and they're almost testing the waters, it's like, congratulations, you just found the edge.
That's it. Take this L.
Yeah, man.
And it's a good thing too, just to circle back real quick, when you're disciplining or having to do that, you have to explain to your kids why you're doing what you're doing. Not, I'm doing this because I love you. Like, no, that doesn't work anymore. It's 2017. Like, hey, this is hot. You will burn yourself. Don't do this. Da 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 blah blah blah. You know what I'm saying? And not necessarily be a punk as a parent, but just more so like, yo, this is education, and take that time to kind of really give them an understanding of what's going on.
For sure.
Yeah. Not, I'm yoking you up because I need you to learn this lesson. Like, not in that moment, but in the other moments, teachable moments. Take that time.
Yeah.
And then, you know, finally just leading in family emotions, you know, doing things together as a family that build in emotional time, you know, depending on how you feel. It might be, you know, Bible studies and asking questions and praying together and, you know, all those type of things. Or it could be going to the park and doing things together and saying, hey, this was a great day. I'm really having so much fun. I love you so much. Da 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 da. The hugs, the kisses, even men to sons, like making sure your son is loved, that he's appreciated, that he knows that you love him, that you affirm him, that you say things, that you know what I'm saying, physically hug him, you know what I mean? And that, you know, daughters as well, and just the family, there's a climate that's there that, hey, you have built things in such a way that your wife will come to you when she's emotionally one way, your children will come to you when they're emotionally one way, and then they know that you also will respond appropriately because you've built that up.
Yeah. Dude, there's this one of my mentors, again, because I didn't necessarily come from this at a young age, like the way he encourages his sons, like, it's just like, it was weird for me. Like, it was emotionally weird for me when I first like was around it and witnessed it. It was like, he would say like one of his sons, his son's name is Oaks. Like, Oaks, you're so strong. Like when he was be doing something like, you're so fat. Like, I was like, man, why are you like, he's not strong. Right, like he's like barely doing it. Right, like, but it's just that there's this overwhelming, I'm going to encourage him. I'm going to let him know, like, I see him, where he is, and I'm encouraged. Like, I think it's awesome with whatever he's doing, X, Y, or Z. Mm-hmm. And it was emotionally uncomfortable for me because I get in our family, emotion is a lot of times weakness. It's a lot of times, not a place to go. Mm-hmm. Logic wins, but in some ways, like kind of what you're saying, leading emotionally the whole family is like going to that awkward place of saying the awkward thing of I had a great day today. I don't know why for me that feels awkward, but it's like, it's like, that's kind of weird. Okay, cool, glad you had fun. Like,
all right.
Sweet. But saying it, I mean, to a child who's learning how to process things and learning the safety net of emotion, I think it's really good.
Yeah.
I'm glad you said it.
Yeah, my daughter, every day she comes in, how was your day? And she's fine, okay, you know what I'm saying? And then, all right, did you play with Gigi? Did you play with Pops? Did you go outside, you know, and make her give me more, you know what I'm saying? So that our relationship is deeper than just surface stuff. Like I said, she's only two, but it's establishing that so that when she gets to a point where maybe some boy said something to her at school or a teacher did something or something happens, she'll know that this is a part of what we need to talk about. And this, you know, as opposed to trying to keep it in or hide it or whatever the case may be. And so I'm just building in that time.
Yeah,
and,
man.
And, you know, just in families, if it's your wife needs to go have mother-daughter time or da-da-da, you know, whatever it looks like, just making sure that the environment is safe for emotions and you're doing things to promote emotional health.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And last thing I have is key point that a lot of people miss. It's when you're dealing with wife, when you're dealing with family, when you're dealing with children, make sure the idea is you're seeking a relationship, not compliance. Right. And that's maybe more so, well, even with my wife, but more so kids to parents, but you know, also with your wife, like, hey, you want to make sure that people know that you love them, that you care about them, that you're in it to win it, not just compliance.
Mm-hmm.
And so if your idea is compliance, you're going to do the things we're saying not to do. Don't do that, bro. Don't just yell. Don't just fuss. Don't just seek this, seek that. It's like, no, if you want relationship, you know them, you're intimate, you understand them. You can finish each other's sentences, maybe. I don't know. I never got to that point with my wife. Well, I think some stuff I got that. But you just know each other on an intimate level. And you want to seek relationship, not just compliance. And it's a big difference. It's a vast difference between those two things.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. Yeah, man. Well, this was super funny and then got fairly serious. But I think this is super good because I think this is, you know, this is a topic as we think through what Don't Do That Bro is. Helping dudes win, handing them the 9-iron. Like, this is the 9-iron in so many ways. We, like, just as a general stereotype, broad swathed, like, this is an area that most men struggle to varying degrees and can easily recede into, you know, being kind of stone faced and be that very typical guy because most women. Most people let dudes get away with it.
Yeah.
And kind of like, oh, he's just a guy.
Yeah.
That's just how he is. And I think, you know, if we're really pushing in, helping dudes win, it's like, no, like, yes, men can be less emotional, but at the same time, it's not the, like, get out of jail free card that, like, a lot of dudes try to make it out to be.
And if you're a man and you have emotional sons, help them deal with their emotions. Don't write them off as effeminate or gay or whatever, whatever, whatever. Like, yo, like, no. Like, it's okay for them to have emotions and to display that and to cry and to maybe not whine so much, but just be sad and frustrated. Don't let them be pansies. Like, always, like, all over the top emotions. Like, but help them understand, like, hey, this is okay. Let's shape this in such a way where you can display your emotions because that's oftentimes what happens. Dudes that have that are children that express emotions get labeled, and then they don't properly have a way to express their emotions.
Sure.
And so don't be that dad.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Cool, man.
All right. Well, I mean, yeah, you know, no joke.
Serious note.
Yeah, serious situation, man. You got, don't be the deadbeat dad, man. Be emotionally available. Love your wife, love your children, love your family. Don't rock the man bun this spring. Let that go.
Yeah.
Let the jorts go. Let the boat shoes go. Clip it all. Shave your beard.
If you do wear some Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle socks, send us some pics, because we'll laugh at you.
Please do. Like, that Master Splinter is all in my head right now. You know, we appreciate y'all. We love y'all. We love your listeners. We are men who appreciate men listening to us. You're loved and appreciated. Has anybody?
I just got emotionally uncomfortable.
Hey, man, we're gonna hold hands right now.
No,
man?
I can't do that.
All right, man. Sorry. Hey, this is what I do to my. This is what you can do to your wife whenever you're ready. Girlfriend, significant other. Have you been told that you're loved and appreciated today? No? Well, I love you and I appreciate you.
That's good. I'll get that, win you some points.
Glory. All right. Well, I'm John Parker. C. John Rohr. This is Don't Do That, Bro. Appreciate you.
Yeah, I'm Dan Duncan. It's been good. Thank you guys for tuning in. Please go on iTunes and rate us. Don't Do That, Bro. We have our own channel now. You can go subscribe just to Don't Do That, Bro. Comment and tell your friends about it. We know you have a guy that probably needs some life caddy
for real though.
So
yeah,
major key, y'all.
Yeah.